Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching for EDUCAUSE. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. Participants include Yuli Haugen, manager of the help desk at Bowdoin College, Christopher M. London, director of Enterprise Help Services at Stanford University, Jason Peltier, computer lab manager at Bowdoin College, and Anne Pinktowski, IT applications manager at Stanford University. The session is entitled Right-Sizing Your Request Tracking System.
My name is Jeff Van Der Poel. I'm an instructional coordinator for the virtual campus of the University of Liège, Belgium. Now we serve today as a convener for this session. This session will be presented now. The title is Right-Sizing Your Request Handling System and will be presented by four different speakers. We'll have Julie Haugen, who's manager of Help Desk at Bowdoin College. We'll have Jason Peltier, who's computer lab manager at Bowdoin College as well. Then we'll have Anne Pinkowski, IT application manager at Stanford University. And we'll have finally Christopher London, who's director of Enterprise Help Desk Service, also at Stanford University. Before we start, I would advise that everyone has mobile phone or electronic device that should disturb the presentation. Please switch it off. And also advise you that it's possible to do online evaluation of each session from the kiosk out there or also from the main page of the website of the program of EDUCAUSE. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming to our session today. I'm Julie Haugen. I did not raise my hand when he announced my name. I'm the manager at the Bowdoin College Help Desk, which is way up north in Maine, and the temperature is quite similar here today. So we have nothing to gloat about. I just want to give a little framework behind this presentation. It's not a comparison and contrast about two help desk ticket tracking software. It's about how Stanford and Bowdoin came to a decision about choosing a software, whether to move to a new software or stay on a platform that they're on. One interesting fact is that when EDUCAUSE asked us to co-present, we had both submitted separate proposals. I don't think they realized that our CIO had come from Stanford, so I've been kind of living in the world of what Stanford's been doing for about 5 years. So it was kind of funny that we're here today. So hope you enjoy it. I just wanted to start out by looking at kind of how Bowdoin differs from Stanford. We're a lot smaller. Many of you probably know that. Particularly when you look at, we have a higher tuition. So that's, yay, we won there. However, we also are... Last year, Bowdoin instituted the no loan policy, so our students do not graduate with loans. So if you have kids looking at colleges, choose one of those schools.
Should I make you guys all stand up?
So you can see that just demographically and size, we're very different.
What we're going to do is give you two perspectives.
Also, I should point out, at Bowdoin, we have only 40 IT staff, and we're separated in five different buildings across campus. History of request tracking at Bowdoin. Along with how the help desk has migrated over the years, I think request tracking systems needs specifications have also changed. How many of you started out with notes of paper on the desk, stack of paper, used to be the to-do list? Yeah. And then how many of you currently have a homegrown system? So we started there. And then how many of you are thinking of moving to a new system? Wow. Okay.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, we just went through it, so if you have questions, you can ask us at the end. So we started with the paper on the desk, went to a FileMaker database, switched to Remedy, which was a really big leap. Remedy was really the best out there, and it was brought to Bowdoin in 2001. I think a lot of time was spent creating, building out categories, processes, how they were going to use it on campus. So when they deployed it in 2001, I arrived at Bowdoin and had missed all of the training. So that was unfortunate. In 2004, we moved, we kind of, the whole thing around Remedy at Bowdoin is no one really wanted to take responsibility for it. So as when I became the help desk manager in 2004, I had one individual that was particularly interested in Remedy. So at the help desk level, we had the system administrator for Remedy, which I think is unusual. And so it was during that year that we switched our database support person, as well as putting it on a different server environment. So finally, in March of 2008, we went to a new help desk software, Altiris, and we'll talk about that more. But
so in this process, my own team, who's responsible for support of the course management system on campus.
So at Stanford, we were doing trouble ticketing back in the mainframe days, back in 1988, I remember doing that. So it's not that the concept is new to us. But we did choose Remedy back in 1997 when all they offered was the builder's toolkit. There was no packaged application that you could select, but they gave you the toolkit and you could build what you want, and we built our homegrown application. It helped to have pressure from the top, and when in 2000 our then CIO said, okay, all of the people that work for me need to use this ticketing system, that was a help, because up till then it had sort of grown from the help desk to a few ancillary groups, but the Unix systems administrators, the DBAs, they did not really want to have to track their work, handle tickets, that sort of thing. So it really helped to have pressure from the top in the year 2000. Then as we got going, we ran into sort of the support effort, the support troubles that you have with a homegrown system. We had one person that was doing the work, and we had more ideas than he could ever implement. And in 2004, we decided to just go with a packaged application. By that time, the product had matured quite a bit. There were lots of bells and whistles that we had always wanted, and now they came with the application. So that's when we sort of bit the bullet and said goodbye to our old homegrown system, and we replaced it with the Remedy Help Desk 5.5. And then we carried on for 4 years until we finally then got money and time enough to replace it with version 7 of the BMC Service Desk product. And we've been very happy with that to date, and we'll go through some of the reasons why that's worked out really well for us. And then moving on, we plan to go sort of full BMC IT management suite going forward.
So how do we use our ticket system at Bowdoin? Right now, it is purely for IT. It's the primary tracking system for Bowdoin, used by all 40 staff members. We use it for our client requests that are coming in, for both faculty, staff, help desk, and student, and internally. So even though we're a small group of 40 people, communication still isn't always the best. It's a challenge, and we're finding that communication is increasing just by using the system more internally. We own 25 concurrent user licenses, which is probably more than enough for us, but we wanted to make sure we're well covered. We are also using the Altiris deployment and notification server. If you're not familiar with that, I'll put a plug in for Jason's poster presentation tomorrow, where he'll be talking about the deployment server and notification server. How are we going to get information out to the support teams?
So at Stanford back in 97, when we first started doing remedy trouble ticketing, it was just for what was then my customer support desk. But thereafter, other departments would come to us as they saw how we handled their requests to us and said, you know, that system that you're using, could we possibly use it? And we soon said, well, this could be a good thing. If we all use the same system, we can pass requests back and forth. So it was a long 10-year haul, but now we've positioned our Remedy service desk application as the Stanford University request tracking system. We managed to get it funded centrally, and I think that was in large part because we got so many departments using it already. We could go and say to the provost, the benefits are great of having a single trouble ticketing system. All the IT groups use it, payroll, HR, benefits, the central offices. They're all using this system. Now we think you should fund it. So at this point, we've grown the usage to where we have 1,200 support desk people spread across all the departments at Stanford that are handling requests. And we're happy that we've been able to satisfy their needs, even though we're using kind of an IT-based application. We just tell, you know, payroll and benefits, ignore all the things about root cause and that sort of thing, but just have it as a request tracking system. So we have 125 fixed licenses, typically given to help desk staff members who are in the application all day long. But other than that, we have 140, 138 floating licenses for all those other users. So we have a very high license to user fold ratio, but it's worked out and we haven't run into problems. The second bullet point, I should point out that when we did go to the Remedy regular help desk application, it included row-level security, which was important for us to support payroll and benefits and HR requests. So we did implement that so that those requests are seen only by the members of those groups, but all the other requests for desktop support or general questions are really open to the whole community. So we've managed to toe the line between single application, tight security for some people, high visibility for others.
I wanted to add that one of the benefits you can imagine is with an audience of 30,000 users on campus that we did build a custom front end for this system. So when people go to enter a request, they're going to help Stanford University, whether, like Chris said, it's a benefits question, payroll question, parking and transportation services question, facilities, IT questions. So it's really nice that you can funnel all your questions. For a long time, Chris was kind of the poster child. He championed this whole initiative and made it very easy for people to come on board. But now we've kind of hit the top of the road where now it's peer pressure. Other teams that aren't participated in this help system, they're like, God, we got a ticket for you and we've got to email you. Get on the system. So now it's really, you know, come to a point where the users of the system are bringing more people in the fold so that everybody's represented. So those islands, I look at it as kind of like a game of Risk. I mean, it's no longer, you know, you're trying to establish your territory. The territory is established, and it's the people that aren't using the system that are being looked at and wondered, you know, how come you can't generate the metrics that we're able to get from all these other offices across the university? And, you know, you've got an email tracking system. How can I tell what's happening, what's being worked, what's active, what's closed? How can I tell your volume? How can I tell your need for headcount? So from that perspective, I think it's very unique. And a lot of the people that I talk to in other universities that are using Remedy or any ticketing system in general, what they talk about is there's multiple ticketing systems across the university and there's a struggle of moving tickets, you know, between different groups. And I think that's a real, it's really worked in our favor.
On campus, there's three different numbers here for you to see.
Here's just a couple of activity measures to show you the size of groups here. So at Bowdoin, a little over 2,000 computers on campus. Stanford has about 1,300 incidents per month. And incidents is probably requests, we should probably say. In the ITIL sense, these probably aren't all true incidents, but service requests and things like that. And at Stanford, campus-wide, we're doing 18,000 now. Bowdoin has 50 folks using the application. We have 1,200. They've got 15 support queues, and we're working now with 300. So just a sort of a size thing to give you a sense. And I don't know how this compares to your own institutions.
So when it came time to decide on are we moving ahead with a new application or will we stick with Remedy, we had to think about a few things. One was sustainability. If we choose a new application, will it carry us out into the future? We know that requests are only increasing as departments are moving business services over to electronic systems. So we needed to make sure what we chose was going to have enough heft. We needed to really find a tool that did not require a full-time developer. That's been our challenge all along, is that Bowdoin doesn't have the resources to devote one person to be a Remedy developer and system administrator. I think that's why we were never as successful as we wanted to be with Remedy. Remedy is the best help desk tool out there. They get help desk, they stay current. So it was a really hard decision for us to move away from Remedy or not. We knew that making changes in whatever ticket system we chose, we knew that making those changes was going to benefit our clients as well. So that was a big driving factor. We were already using Alteris for imaging and software deployment. So my help desk was familiar with it. Our systems team was familiar with it. Jason kind of jumped on board with Alteris. We had Dan is here from Loyola Marymount, which is a surprise. He was a huge help in helping us get started with Alteris. And one of the major points of success was that we wanted to hear from all IT staff. I think when Remedy was brought on board, it was decided upon by our systems administrators. It went into place without any feedback or understanding by the rest of IT, and it was so important to have everybody on board and have their input and buy-in. 5 years will be up in 2011, and knowing how long it took me the last time to do the RFP process. So this is kind of hard to see, but this spreadsheet is based on the input that we gathered from IT staff. Some of the more important ones were VIP flagging and certain notes. So how can, there are some VPs that you need to call before you go, just notes about certain clients. What I wanted, you can't see the rest of the spreadsheet, but we compared all different, about three different help desk applications, Remedy and Alteris being one. And Remedy and Alteris, they met the criteria. So it's still, we haven't decided yet on which is the better application for us. But the point was to really get the feedback from our IT staff. So I don't know if any of you have gone through a process like this yet at all. They're just really good things to think about when you're choosing a product, because a lot of products have bells and whistles, but you really want to make sure it's fitting your environment.
We were actually kind of dabbling a little bit into the open source arena at that point.
So at Stanford, because the Remedy application was housed and owned by the IT organization, we certainly had years of impetus towards this IT service management. We had tried a little bit of best of breed, and we brought in an infra change management module a couple of years ago, which turned out to be way harder to integrate than the vendor had promised us, way more money. And that sort of soured us on the concept of best of breed. So we had pretty good success with the Remedy help desk application 5.5. So the skids were greased as long as it would continue to work for the rest of campus. And so we managed to make that work. In those years of developing Remedy expertise, we had a good bench strength. Ann came in a couple years ago. We actually hired two people from BMC Remedy. So we thought we have the power to do that. We only want to get this thing bigger, so let's go do it. And we were continuing to base our thought. This was a campus-wide, large-scale integrated application that was going to pay off down the road. And we also, when we architected, and Ann will talk a little bit about this later, because we also plan to then move all our change requests and our CMDB updates and things into Remedy, we scaled this particular application when we refreshed it so that there's plenty of power to support the additional transactions. So we're not just looking at our help desk volume, our ticketing volume, but we're looking at change requests and CMDB updates.
One thing that I want to mention from a headcount perspective is, we have 1,200 users and 300 groups, and there is considerable custom development, largely for integration purposes to LDAP and, for the processing of quick tickets, if you will, and not having it be a laborious process. But we have, we're funded from the provost, and we have two headcount behind the system, but it's distributed across four individuals, and that's for 50% production support, 50% development. So 50% of my Remedy people are spending on new development, and 50% of their time is for production support. So if new development isn't something that's interesting to you, I mean, it's interesting to us. We're looking at doing a self-service portal so people can self-provision their ticketing queues and do some of that so that we don't, where we don't add value, like creating an account, we're going to create tools to let people do it because we're not adding the value and then capture the metrics of how much they're serving themselves. So that's where our development focus is. But it's really not a lot considering the audience that we service to have, two headcount for, help desk ticketing for the entire university. It's pretty good.
And here's just a little breakdown of how we implemented it technically at both Bowdoin and Stanford. It turned out after we got it all running on Linux at Stanford, BMC said, "Congratulations, you're the first one that ever did that." And we said, "Thanks for the heads up." We did do a Kerberos single sign-on module that one of our team members wrote, and so Anne's happy to share that with anyone that's interested in a similar setup. And here's the things that Bowdoin had done
based
here.
Based on what we knew, there were their experiences either with e-learning management systems,
okay,
or
CT
in particular.
We didn't talk about who's going to do this slide.
And then
stand up here with
me.
So some of the considerations for any ticketing system if you're migrating, what are you going to do with the old data? Bowdoin decided to leave it behind. Stanford said, bring it on. And so we converted a bunch of records, which has the upside
that
the other prior versions of our ticketing system are all, the data is accessible in the new format.
So we can historically track back metrics since 1996.
And it would be about a two-year appointment to kind of get us through this.
And as far as defining new business processes, we first implemented it, we tried to find those few key business processes that we know would be the big bang factor for other IT staff, making their job easier. And we're continually adding those. We have a request process so that if IT staff have an idea, they can put that request into us, and generally we can actually grant access.
In terms of transitioning, we both did it sort of at the mid session period when we could take some time out to suppress the ticketing system, queue those requests up, and then bring the system back online. Similarly with orientation, we had online training in both venues, documentation, group training. We sort of used all the training modalities to make it easy for people to pick up the knowledge.
And one thing I want to add for that, which I originally in our whole plan I didn't think would be as useful as it ended up being, is there's a lot of confidence, I'll figure it out when we get there, I'm not going to that training. And with 1,200 people, if you don't adequately train and they don't learn, it's perception, it's everything. So they'll say, oh, that thing's stupid. So one of the things that we offered was after the migration, we offered drop-in sessions where people could actually, wow, this is way different than the previous system we were using. They could actually come, and we staffed a training facility to just walk people through handling their day-to-day work right there live on the training PC. And that was very helpful. A lot of people admitted to being way more confident about their ability to, you know, get over the gap between 6 and 7, and it just wasn't so. So I would highly recommend something post-implementation, you know, that type of facility where they could drop in and go through their work and have that one-on-one training.
Evidence to talk further with that was very helpful in moving forward.
So a little bit about how RLTRS system set up. It's pretty simple. All help desk staff access a client via Internet Explorer right now. We have a lot of Mac users on our staff, and they all use Fusion to access it. So temporarily, that's the solution, and so far it's fine. The help desk server is a virtual machine. We have the database backend on our SQL server. And the other machines you see there in the background, those are connecting. We have our notification server with LTRS is talking to all of our client computers on campus, grabbing live data about those computers. It's populating our LTRS help desk system so that the help desk staff actually have real live data about a person's computer. So when they call, we can tell you if you have 512 megabytes of RAM in one slot or two, or if you have two slots of 256. So just little things like that as far as have really helped us along.
We should train in. All those kind of little decisions.
So this is really the Stanford infrastructure. What we decided to do, you know, as Chris had mentioned, right now we've got incident management, problem management, service level management, and asset management in our remedy environment. But we have plans to migrate our infra change management system into the remedy, under the remedy platform. And we also never populated our CMDB. It sits at the heart of the BMC product, but CMDB is just kind of such a scary project. We're doing it now. It's scary. So in order to actually scale for this housing of all of our data center equipment, the equipment that we support for ourselves as well as the equipment that we house in our data center for other other customers, we really wanted to look at an architecture where if we didn't nail it from an IO, from a performance perspective, we'd be able to respond quickly. So that's where we decided to put a load balancer in front of both the web tier and the application tier, so that we can scale horizontally. So if we were, you know, finding there were issues with our, you know, our HTTP requests, we could throw another web server in there dynamically on the fly, and we wouldn't be sitting there going, oh no, we've got to upgrade this whole infrastructure from a hardware perspective. So really, this is probably overkill for what we're using it today, 18,000 tickets. But this is, you know, planning for the 3 years' worth of growth. Our CMDB project goes live on in April, so that's going to be a lot of data that's going to be brought into the remedy environment. There's going to be a lot of throughput there in doing the reconciliation. And then next year we're planning on doing the infra to change management to BMC change management conversion. And again, change uses a lot of tasking, and so this way at least we're really set up to scale this environment. The other benefit is from an uptime perspective. If we need to take one of these web servers down or one of these application servers down, we can pull it out of the load balance pool, repair that equipment, and then insert it back into the pool. So service would be slower than, say, you know, we'd be doing this during a maintenance window, so, you know, it may not even be noticeable to a client, but we can minimize the amount of downtime that, you know, our customers are experiencing in the system. And since there are so many people using it, that's kind of a strategic element that came with this whole architecture design.
One of the things in the past for WebCT, they had to request their course. They kind of filled out a form. And we told them it could take.
So did Bowden make the right decision? I think for us, we definitely did. I've found that IT staff have responded very favorably. I included a little quote at the bottom from our admin assistant. She was our first customer, and I chose her on purpose. We immediately made her job easier because she helps out with our computer rollout project in the summer. So this was huge. If you knew her, this was huge. There was minimal client impact. Really the only thing our clients ever noticed that was different was that our online form was nicer. And so we got a lot of feedback about that. The number of tickets that are being entered from other IT groups that never really used Remedy to put tickets or ever saw the value of a ticketing system at all is increasing. There's one group that I saw consistently had 5 or 8 every month are now above 50. So they're using it amongst themselves as well as us. And it just creates a more of a holistic idea of what's going on. You know what people are working on. And one of the nicest things for me is that when we get requests from IT staff for changes and can it do this, can it make, can I get an email notification anytime I get a request? Jason and I can generally say, yeah, we can do that or we can figure it out. Which is just, for us, huge when we don't have a lot of resources to be able to do this.
Our installation that we were going to use. We have a big summer faculty institute, so we kind of use that.
I just wanted to put a slide up here about the implementation of ITIL framework at Stanford. We started it way back in 2002. It's just been a continually evolving growth. We had a briefing last month for key managers to continue to educate the group. I went to a session yesterday to create to increase my own involvement. But we're sort of letting the tool in some ways pull us along a little bit, because now in the new application you see things like incidents and problems and what's a task and root cause, what's that about? And so we're sort of trading the two against the other, and now that the application supports the ITIL processes better, we can say now that the application does this, we want you to do this. Let's make a distinction between incidents and requests and between incidents and problems and that sort of thing. So if any of you are trying to do ITIL implementations, they'll tell you, you know, figure out your processes first and then go get a tool, and I certainly understand that. And sometimes bringing in a tool that supports best policy, or now they call them good practices, not best practices, but good practices, can help bootstrap you.
We're kind of terming it ITIL our way. That's our moniker on campus, and it's been working well.
Okay.
The highly technical people are like, oh, ITIL, oh, God, process. You know, when you say, oh, ITIL our way, they're like, oh, okay, I like that. We're doing it our way. You know, it's like open source.
And you'll see that the sky is the dark blue.
The one benefit I think Stanford is somewhat unique in that we are trying to stretch this thing into an enterprise-wide application. And there are times when that stretches more than some people want. But it does give, for the end user, a consistent interface. Ask any question at Stanford, and the likelihood is you're going to be using this Helps You web interface to pose it to a support group you don't even know where they exist. It's sort of agnostic about support groups and how many and all that sort of thing. The consistency of notifications, and you get an email when a ticket's marked resolved, all that sort of thing helps whether it's a payroll question or fix my installation of Mac Mail or whatever. There have been times when the ITIL process can pull us along, and that's a good thing. We do have, because it's just a big application now, we are able to retain staff. There's enough interest in Ann's group to, you know, meeting the customer requests. A little customization, we get to do that. There's just enough there that it's a worthy enterprise. Sort of the cons, sometimes people will come back to us and the benefits office might say, well, I don't get this incident. You know, we're just handling questions. What's this incident form and that sort of thing? And we just tell them, sort of, don't sweat it too much. There's the user information on that tab. There's the resolution tab. There's the status resolved. Go for it. And it is true that there are some groups that come to us with the sort of the hat that I need this field to work for me. I need you to add fields. We have kind of a weird thing. Can you accommodate that? And for the most part, we say no, but we have added some user-defined fields on a certain tab and say, knock yourselves out. There's 4 fields there. Use it for what you need it to. So we're trying to find that balance. And then the other thing is, for those of you that work with some of these ITIL-based systems, there's these, certainly in Remedy, there's the two catalogs or the classification scheme so you can classify your tickets. One of our struggles is we have to build a hierarchy that will apply to every question on campus. And that takes work, took work. But now, you know, if the provost says, so tell me what I'm getting, you know, how many groups are using this, and tell me what kind of issues they're tracking, we can literally, out of this one application, do a report against all the groups on all the tickets they handle and how they classified them. And we can report across the entire support enterprise of the university rather than just saying, well, here's what we do in IT, but we really don't know what anyone else does. So that's a benefit, even though it's tough to work.
They call them JIRA tickets that we are kind of logging into these things. So there's a lot of information out there. You can go to Sakai Project.
So where do we want to go with this now that we feel like we can?
We have input.
One of our plans is to have an Altiris administrator for each IT group. So telecom, audiovisual, each individual group. It's an application that I'm comfortable allowing. And they know their business best, so I think that would be a successful model. With the new version, we will be able to break it down kind of like Stanford has and allow our HR group to use this to track their requests or our security department or facilities. Right now we get lots of requests for broken toilets even though that's not what we do. It's fun to come into in the morning. But I do see that there is a need on our campus, and especially with a lot of our applications now being upgraded to newer and bigger systems, especially in payroll. We're hoping for browser independency. We do tend to not choose a product if it doesn't work on a Mac. So this was kind of a big thing for us, but we're hoping that for the future. And Altiris is also working around the framework of IDLE, so we'll be implementing that more. It's interesting, the way Altiris works is they started as an inventory kind of software rollout company, and now they're adding the help desk piece versus Remedy. They've perfected that help desk piece and are now adding some of the similar tools that Altiris has been using. So it's an interesting comparison.
And at Stanford, as we said a little bit earlier, we're continuing down the path of an integrated IT service management suite. We'll be upgrading to the CMDB next spring and starting with core infrastructure. I mean, my actual dream, now that we've got the whole campus using this thing for incident management essentially, is that eventually I'd like to see the distributed IT groups around campus use the CMDB to maintain their own work and do change management requests on their own activities. So that's kind of my dream. And then in the next year we'll replace our infra change management with BMC's change management. And then we'll kind of be there and just have to improve on that. So I think that's our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions. Jason is dying to say something. Are there any questions of your own? Yes.
Defining the migration process up front, whether it's through the process that Delaware went through and surveying the faculty and finding out their needs and what they want to do, versus kind of planning up ahead.
That was the bit. We knew, should we include a slide about cost or should we exclude it? And we decided to exclude it and just if somebody answered. Or ask that we'd answer.
Sure. It was kind of nice that cost wasn't a factor in our decision. It ended up we are saving money going with Altiris, but that certainly wasn't a driving factor at all. The initial purchase of, I think we got, they call it Altiris Asset Management Level 3. That package alone was about $26,000, and that's what we were paying for our Remedy renewal license each year. So it wasn't a factor then. It's kind of something we can look back on, and well, that's cool. You know, we did save money there.
Yeah.
and I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but I think our remedy maintenance agreement is in the $200,000, $300,000 range.
Every year.
Every year. But the way we trade that off is the graduate school of business doesn't have a system, the medical school doesn't have a system. This is the system. So it's much as Oracle Financials and PeopleSoft for us are ERP systems. I mean, people are now talking about Remedy as being one of our ERP systems.
I think we have enough.
Other questions in the back?
I lost my technical guy kind of in the middle of the migration, and I actually had to step in and be the sysadmin, which is not fun.
Infra change management, which is considered in the Gartner Magic Quadrant the best of breed for change management. Which is funny because that's where, you know, Chris had mentioned, you know, there was in the past this feeling that we will buy best of breed. We will buy the best product that meets that, you know, business function. And we found that having the best product completely isolated in its own island and not interoperable ended up, you know, in the grand scheme of things, measuring out to not be so best of breed. Because if it's not integrated, you make sacrifices. And without that integration, those are the pain points that your end users are feeling. Okay, so I have to go to here to do this, and I've got to go to here to do this. So, I mean, certainly Remedy's change management solution is not crap. I mean, it's a good product. But in the scheme of everything...
Did she say that?
I did. These educators, they're cool.
We're recording. Anyway, so Infra does offer the whole ITIL suite. So I suspect our reaction would have been different had we gone all Infra. But I think my point is perhaps go all something rather than.
Our details fairly quickly. There might be specifics that you want to ask questions about.
Question here? Oh, good. Other questions?
Are you doing integration with other discovery tools? Or are you using the discovery tools from the vendors?
So we looked at discovery tools, and from the perspective of discovery tools for the CMDB project you're talking about, it's really not something that ISO looks incredibly fondly on because they require root access to systems.
And ISO is our information security office.
So having... a system that is able to authenticate to all systems in our data center is an extreme risk. So what we're actually looking at doing, we have many of our systems that are managed by multiple, you know, given sources of truth. Puppet for Unix systems, MOM for Windows systems, Opsware for our networking systems. We're looking at developing a homegrown, we're calling it the collector, that's going to harvest that data from those sources of truth to minimize the exposure and not have to worry about an agented solution that would require root access.
We had some problems with reliability of the system to deploy.
We're going to not be using ODBC. We're going to be using Aras Perl probably for Remedy to pull real time.
This at my level of frustration for my staff, it was having to learn a new tool very quickly, trying to become experts.
We actually are using Ultiris's discovery clients. It's the easiest one, very easy to deploy, and it pulls more than enough information we're going to need.
Any other questions? Yes.
And as far as challenges, I mean, there's a lot of challenges along the way. Probably what I would call is project management.
We're actually using it for incident problem. We're also using it for fulfilling our data center orders. We've created this idea of super and sub-ticket multi-group fulfillment where one order will automatically, from our ordering system, will generate a super ticket. That super ticket will spawn sub-tickets like, you know, racking and cabling equipment, provisioning, you know, storage space, building. And then all of once all those sub-tickets are completed, then it talks back to our billing system to bill the client. So we are using it for ordering and for project tracking.
Project, not strongly, but there's one field, the incident type, and we added a value called project. And so if you're working on something that's going to last weeks and weeks and weeks, mark it as a project. We won't pick it up in our weekly tickets outstanding, incidents party, that sort of thing, reporting. So that, but other than that, the feature set is the same for projects. We haven't done any module add-ons or anything like that. Okay. Any dashboarding? Well, at Stanford, and then I'll let Bowden answer. We pull lots of data out of this system, but populate a separate web-based metrics dashboard that our Unix guy set up. So it's not, we're not using flashboards or anything like that direct from Remedy, but we have a web-based dashboard with key performance indicators.
My team is in discussion right now with the project management office for doing some of the dashboards using flashboards and Remedy to publish live, you know, to either a management dashboard or to the web. But it's totally a work in progress.
And we're not actually using, we currently have nothing implemented for the dashboards. I mean, outside of the built-in dashboards that are available in NS or notification server, we haven't customized anything.
Labor Day weekend, the Friday of Labor Day weekend, we were down.
All right, any last questions?
Monday,
Jeff, your big goodbye speech.
2 hours.
No. Do you have anything else to say to the group?
Just remind me.
All right. Thanks very much for your attention.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Real Networks enables digital delivery of distance learning coursework, athletic events, and more to students anywhere. Information at realnetworks.com.